Amen. All right, now if you do have any, anybody have any questions? Okay, if you don't have any, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. We're going to do two things. We'll break them up. It won't be overly long. I'm not sure why my mind has been directed to these things, but we'll look at them and try to we'll teach and preach on them a little bit. There's so many things you could spend your time looking at as a believer, and many times the timing of truth is important. And a lot of times it's beyond us to know what the timing is. And so the Lord brings things into our life. But it's an interesting thing how that something as simple as the Christian life could become so perverted and subverted as it has today. While there may be subtleties and we all face different difficulties and trials, the Christian life, of necessity by the Lord, was made to be simple. He made it simple. He gave us the Word of God. He gave us prayer. He gave us the armor of God. And He gave us a few good illustrations, an illustration of a farmer, and the illustration of a shepherd, illustration from nature. And basically, He gave us a lot of things, and many of them are actually repeated, repetitious of each other. And so He gave us these things so the Christian life could be simple enough for a child to live. So if the Lord said that a child could receive salvation and live a Christian life, then the Christian life is not complicated. Okay? Many times it gets complicated because of what people are hearing or what someone is saying, or as we'll look at a little bit here in 2 Timothy 4 on just this idea of preaching, is it becomes complicated because what's missing is the willingness to just be simple and just be clear and just be plain and preach it. And that's why it's called the foolishness of preaching, both in the eyes of lost people and in the eyes of many so-called Christians or Christians who like to get clever and get all tangled up. And so a lot of times for us as believers, the thing that's important is that we've got to get back to those basics, and there needs to be always on earth a lineage of people who are preaching. There's no doubt in my mind that God could take you fellows and in some way, shape, or form have you spend your life preaching. That doesn't mean you won't counsel people and help them and all that. But all that should really be a sort of a stem, you might say, or just a little part of preaching. If there's anything that's missing today, it's real preaching. And even in the last 30 years, 35 years that I've been saved, I've seen a huge change. But if you go back and look at the past 100 years, there's been a great change. The confidence in preaching has gone down. The frequency of preaching has gone down. We got more and more, you know, fellowships and teaching and less preaching. And according to your Bible, they would get together as often as they could, and they would get preaching and teaching. And what we call teaching today is sometimes so far down from what teaching was in those days that we don't have a hot, fired-up Christianity anymore. We've got more of an intellectual, you know, almost a casual Christianity. And so real preaching is something that is missing today. And I want to just look at this passage here. We'll start reading a few and we'll go down through it. We'll read a few verses. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'll point out to you before that many times when you see this term God, capital G-O-G-O-D in the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings, he's referring in practical way to the Father. This demonstrates that, because look what he says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is he saying the Lord Jesus Christ is not God? No. So he addresses the Father a lot of ways. Instead of him saying Jehovah and the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, he says God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times by nature, once we're saved, the Holy Spirit has us. We think about God and the Lord in the same way. We tend, as saved Gentiles, to think more in terms of God, and we learn more to include in there the Lord. Because the Old Testament saints, that's how they viewed him. When you read in Genesis, you see a lot of the terms of the use of the capital G-O-D, the proper name of God, term God. So he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Now, whatever Paul's about to say to this young fella, must be very important, because he said, here's what he's saying basically, I am calling God to witness today that I told you to do this. All right? That's pretty big, I told you, isn't it? He said, I am calling God to be witness down the track that I commanded you to do this. I charged you to do this. And someday, since he's going to judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, he will judge you by this thing. And so what does he say? He says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And so what we know is that there's a direct connection between real preaching and doctrine. Doctrine is not just a dead sort of way about talking about what the Bible says. Doctrine is preaching what God said is right, what's wrong, what we ought to practice. Look what he says here. Verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Four things. Endure afflictions. That's a soldier. Do the work of an evangelist. That's a soul winner. Make full proof of thy ministry. That's a steward. And then he said at the beginning of the verse, watch thou in all things. That's a shepherd. So in this one verse, for example, he has a shepherd and a soldier and a soul winner and a steward. And I'd say to you tonight that when we look at this, we want to look at it and learn some things about this thing of what the Lord calls preaching and what he told Timothy about it. One of the marks of fired up Christianity is preaching. One of the marks of modern Christianity or casual Christianity is just teaching or just discussing or just learning. And the reason is that God, he ordained that we would declare the Word of God through that. Now, preaching can be done like we are here right now. Preaching can be done out on the street. Preaching can be done anywhere you want to go and start a church, for example. The thing that will make the difference in people's lives is that preaching, that preaching, that preaching. One of the things that happens so often is people get away from it because what preaching does is it does separate. The foolishness of preaching, some people receive it, some people reject it. But real preaching leaves you where you can't just go out of there and do neither one. And there's a real missing of that today. If you've got somebody you're dealing with about salvation, the best thing on earth you can do is get them under the sound of preaching. Because when you get them under the sound of that preaching, what happens is, they are able to hear the method, the way that God made us. All right, let's look at verses 1 to 4 there. First of all, the erroneous philosophies and ideals. Erroneous philosophies and ideals. For example, here's an erroneous philosophy and an ideal. Someone says we shouldn't need reviving. I've heard it so much, it about makes me want to regurgitate, vomit, puke. It's ridiculous. We shouldn't need reviving. Well, that'd be like saying we shouldn't need sleep and waking up. Amen. I mean, you know, the same way that you got to get some sleep and rest and then wake up is the same way that sometimes a Christian needs reviving. He talks about renewing. Someone says you shouldn't need supporting. You shouldn't need somebody to help you. You should be, you know, maintenance free. But that's not what the Bible says. That's a great ideal to have because it makes running a church a lot easier. Okay? But you can't find that in your Bible. That'd be like telling soldiers, we're going to take you out, we're going to drop you with this chopper, and we'll come back in a couple months. Hang in there, boys. No resupply, no communication, no artillery backup, no nothing. Now, in a very remote situation where they have to go in and be clandestine, you know what they do? They work all that out, what they're going to do. But they're still supported. And they know what's happening and this and that. The modern thing is, oh, you shouldn't need supporting. That there's something wrong with you if you need the fellowship of brethren, or you need someone to pray with you, or you need somebody to encourage you. Another one is this. You should be able to keep yourself up all the time. Well, find that in this book. If it says, let another man praise thee and not thine own, that means that people are supposed to be encouraging one another because you're not supposed to go around telling yourself how good you are or that you know what you're doing. Now, you ought to know what you're doing enough to follow God, but you're not supposed to go around all the time saying, you know, having to encourage yourself. Someone says, well, you know, preaching shouldn't be foolish. It needs to be, you know, respected and all this kind of thing. Well, that's not what the Bible says. See, that's the thing you remember. You say, well, why does God use some of these guys when they preach? I'll tell you why. They're not trying to be foolish. They just are. Amen? They're not trying to be. Now watch. You ever watch somebody and they try to be? They're just eccentric and quirky. No power. But God will take somebody who's just not exactly like somebody else, and He'll use them. And He'll use you, and He'll use me, and He'll use us accordingly. But we have to not have those erroneous philosophies and ideals. Now, what do we need to do about them? We have to correct them. Look at chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine. All right, we got that. The Bible teaches us what's right, what's wrong, what applies to us, what doesn't. But watch this. What is the very next thing it says it's for? Reproof. Now, that is not the way the modern Christian thinks. The modern Christian wants this Christianity that doesn't ever really reprove you. It just makes suggestions, and it you know, it just gets you, you know, what this would be better. And that's not what it says, a reproof. Watch, reproof for correction. And then what? Instruction in righteousness. You know why? Because that's how we are. That's just the way we are as humans, especially our fallen state that we have to live in and the old nature we still have to do business with. So he said it's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So we need our thinking corrected. We have to say, God, I've got erroneous philosophies and ideals, and I don't even know what they are. See, that's the amazing thing to me about people. You know what the amazing thing about young people is? And I mean like, you know, 13, 14, 15, 18, 20, 30. But young people, you know what the amazing thing is? That they believe their philosophies and ideals. And some of them are just as harebrained as can be, man. They're just, you know, they're just as mixed up, as, you know, goofy as can be. Why? Because somewhere along the line, somebody told them, well, you know, if this thing feels good or it makes sense and you got to make up your own mind. And God says, no, I'm going to make up your mind for you. And I'm going to tell you how to think. And I'm going to give you somebody who knows the Bible to tell you how you'll think about what that Bible says. Listen, it is so easy for someone. You could get into the book of Proverbs. You could get into Ecclesiastes. You can get over into Isaiah. You get in some of these places and get some doctrine going, and the Lord's saying, looking down going, man, how did they do that? How did he manage to get that out of there? And the Lord says, send somebody by and straighten them out, you know. And the Holy Spirit guides somebody by. Why? Because God made it where we're supposed to have to correct these erroneous philosophies and ideals, and we're full of them. We're all full of them. Well, this book helps us. Now, that's what those old-timers would do. They would get up, and they would preach hard, and they would correct your thinking. You know what they do when you go in the military? They are trying to build your knowledge, but before they can, you know what they got to do? They got to take everybody, and they got to make everybody the same, equal. They shave your head. They give you all the same uniform. That everybody's equal. They got to do that so that then, when they get you down to that thing, they build you up in the right doctrine. And God has to do that so many times. The Lord has to, you know, I've mentioned it before, out of Luke 11, where he talks about he takes away his armor, that armor of man. And preaching deals with these erroneous philosophies and ideals. So we have that in verses 1 to 4 there. He's got erroneous philosophies and ideals. And look what he calls them in verse 4. They shall be turned unto what? Fables. Now you remember, what is it? Aesop's fables? Right? I think a lot of Christians know the fables more than they know the truth. They know the cartoons more than they know the truth. I've heard Christians refer to videos and films and movies as if they were true. You know, quote them and give them an example. And I'm like, this is what's true. All right, I'll give you a fable. Fable is that you got to have the original languages to understand the Word of God better. That's going backwards, fellas. God, in 1611, gave you a book so that you'd have an up-to-date book that anybody who wants to study English can have. A person with a sixth grade education can understand this book. You won't understand your Greek New Testament with a sixth grade education. Amen. You see, that's a fable. Another fable is that you have to have man's approval at large, or you have to have certain qualifications at large for God to use you. Have you noticed they never, ever bring up guys like D.L. Moody when it comes to that? Never ordained. Never went to school anywhere. So then some wiseacre goes, well, there you go. I don't need any of that. And God says, oh, yeah, you need tons of it. You see what I'm saying? And one fellow said, you know, the Lord has a wrench to fit every nut. And God says, look, I want to deal with these things, but the reason I got to deal with them is because of the way human nature is. He said they'll, verse 3, they'll not...